Finding skincare products that actually work can be very overwhelming and complicated, which is why we're very excited that we are partnering with Apostrophe, which is the sponsor of this episode. Apostrophe is an online platform that connects you with an expert dermatology team to get you customized acne treatment for your unique skin. I recently have been dealing with acne from working out a ton and like sweating, and it was so frustrating. I was like, no matter what I do, I can't figure this out. And Apostrophe was extremely helpful. They were able to like look at pictures that I sent with them and go over my skincare goals and my medical history to help customize a treatment for me.
And through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear skin. They treat breakouts from head to toe. And like you said, Sabrina, you'll be connected to a dermatology provider. You send them some selfies and they create a customized plan just for you. So we have a special deal for our audience. You can get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/TGOG when you use our code TGOG. That's a savings of $15. This code is only available to our listeners. To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/TGOG and click get started. Then use our code TGOG at sign up and you'll get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. Hello.
Wow, you have such a fancy studio today.
Oh my God. I'm calling you from my spaceship today.
Are you raising the roof?
I'm quite literally raising the roof. I'm gearing up for takeoff to come over and join you. Cause why not? This is two girls, one ghost.
Two girls, one ghost. And you're recording from the car. And
yes.
You're Corinne and I'm Sabrina.
Yep, there we go. Yeah. I'm recording from the car. I got kicked out of my house. Basically, my house, we're having a lot of construction projects because what happens when you buy an old house is you're dazzled by the old house. And then when you want to do one small thing, you uncover the next thing. And there's never a project that you can just stop at because something else breaks or is uncovered in the process of what you were doing. So there's a lot of stuff happening. But one thing that happened was, as the backstory, in the laundry room, there was a desk. And I was like, we don't need the desk. What we need is storage and shelving. We're not going to be working from this desk. So when my parents were here, we ripped up the desk and removed it. Only the desk was not actually put on top of the tile that was already existing there. It was like built into the subfloor, basically. So then we're like, well, shit. Now half of the laundry room doesn't have tile and we can't use that half of the laundry room. So now we're like, well, let's just replace the tile. Originally, I was going to do it. I was going to replace the tile. And then I realized I was getting way too ahead of myself with the amount of time I had to do things. So I was like, we're just going to hire someone to replace a tile in this little tiny closet of a laundry room. So they come and they rip it all up yesterday. They unhook our washer and dryer, move them out, and then they move just the washer back in before they leave. And they're like, well, the washer's in there if you need to do laundry. What we heard was, the washer's ready to go.
Which is basically what they said.
I put laundry in. I didn't check any of the tubing in the back. Well, I checked.
Why would you have? They told you it was ready to go.
Yeah. And the like water hoses that I could see over the top of the washing machine was there. And so I didn't bother looking to see if the drainage nozzle down below was hooked up. So we put in a load of laundry and it's like 9 p.m. and Brian and I are watching a show downstairs. And all of a sudden, we hear like a and we just look at each other and then it's shh. And I just scream, run. And Brian's already like flying halfway up the stairs. We're both up there. The hose is now everywhere. Like the water is all over the floor. It's gushing so much water. And part of the subfloor was already ripped up in preparation of like some of the work they had to do today. And so there's this giant gaping hole in our floor that leads basically to like the insulation and all the electrical and everything that goes to the ceiling of the first floor.
Jeez.
The hose is in that hole. So we're having like inches and inches and inches of water pumping in there. I'm screaming. I grab the thing. I like try to plug it. It's spraying. It's all over me in my pajamas. And then Brian, run to the basement. So he's running down to turn off the water. And I'm like, literally, I was so soaked. It was disgusting.
I would have loved to see this. I'm glad that you're laughing about it now, because it's like, what else can you do? But my God, what a nightmare.
And then Brian's like, let's put it out the window. So then he opens the window, but the hose won't reach it. So I'm like trying to angle it and use my palm to like let the water like skip across my palm and
extend the hose.
Yeah. So then we just get the windowsill fucked up with water. Oh my God. It was like a whole thing. It took hours and hours to like attempt to clean it up. And then of course the laundry that was in there is sopping wet. And so it's going to take like 4 days to dry because the dryer's not hooked up. I don't know. Anyway, point being is they're here. They're ripping up the subfloor. They're trying to look for any mold potential or damage. And so my house could not be more noisy. So this is the car series for the next few recordings, potentially.
And I have to say, your lighting looks pristine. Honestly, the car series might need to be our new thing. Like, should I get in the car?
I think you should. We should just drive. If the service were better, it would be so fun to just drive around and be like, oh, this story involves a cemetery. Let me just skirt on over to the cemetery. But no, we're going to be in the car for a little. And then, you know, God forbid, if my entire ceiling on the first floor has to be ripped up, then we're going to make this a shed series. And I'm going to make a little she shed.
A little podcasting she shed. There's something weird about she shed that reminds me so much of Shiwi.
The peeing device?
The pee tube. That she shed just, I can't not think of Shiwi.
I could use a Shiwi right now instead of having to run elsewhere to use the bathroom.
I feel like you would experience exactly what happened last night with the washing machine tube, where it didn't quite reach the window with a Shiwi.
It would not be as
useful and helpful as you think it is.
The joys of life. And thank goodness for this podcast, because I feel like we come to this podcast to get distracted and lost in the paranormal sauce. And I'm excited that I get to ignore everything that's happening in my house today and just think about this stuff. Ghosts.
We get to escape the real world into the other real world that exists that many people ignore and talk about history, mystery, all the things. Oh,
it's a little magnetic cow. Oh, it's so perfect for an alien story, which we're not doing today.
No, but it's also perfect for you because you love cows. When I see cows, I think of you.
Aw, that means so much. I hope everyone thinks of me when they see cows.
I don't see cows often, but when I do, I think of you.
Great. We had someone who was talking with my family the other day. And they were talking about bachelorette parties, and they're a lot older. So they're like, I can't, oh God, like everyone going out to Vegas and Miami. And like, they're talking about all these things, and they're like, it's exhausting. You didn't do a bachelorette, did you? And I was like, I did. And they're like, oh. And my mom goes, yeah, but she did a grandma bachelorette. I was like, wow, is this an insult or a compliment to this conversation right now? I'm not really sure.
It's a compliment.
But I went and saw cows. That was the whole itinerary. Cheese, cows. I met a puppy Frenchie this morning, actually, and I did ask the puppy if he saw dead people. And the owner laughed.
What did the puppy say?
Nervously. He said yes.
Where were you?
It wasn't just like super random. It was like an intentional meeting of some people that live nearby.
Okay. I was just imagining a stranger, and then would be very nervous.
Strangers getting to know each other. But yeah, it was more of like, we were just like talking. They were like, oh, what do you guys do for work? You know, that sort of thing. And then Brian was like, she has the cool job. And then I was like talking about the podcast about ghost stories. And the guy was like, sometimes I wonder if he sees things, because he'll just like look up and stare at the ceiling. And that's when I was like, do you see dead people? I bet he does.
Oh, man, I would love a series on if all the dogs and all the pets could just talk and share what they see.
When I eventually get a dog, if I choose to do those buttons where they can learn the language, 100% there's going to be a cluster of buttons that is all about the paranormal. Because I need them to slap the button ghost if they see a ghost.
That would terrify you, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Or they're just like, mom, stranger, 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 mom, stranger. Where? Where? Closet. Fuck.
And it also has to be in that exact voice.
I think you program it with stranger. Your own voices too. So, mom.
I had one of those automatic pet feeders for Leia for a while, and every time it like fed, I programmed it so it had my voice. So they said, "Leia, time to eat," but it startled me so much every time it went off. It truly like your was horrifying, but it was just shocking every time, and it also sounded kind of robotic, even though it was my voice. "Leia, time to eat," and I hated it.
Time to eat.
The sound of the food coming out of the system was enough for Leia to know it was time to eat.
I wonder if Leia was like, "Wow, it sounds like my mom," or if she started to associate the food sound as being more important and being like, "Wow, my mom sounds like my food dispenser."
Food is always top priority for Leia.
I know.
Like, tip top priority.
I appreciate her honesty. She's kept it real throughout her life. It's always been that. And you don't have to question where you stand. Consistent queen.
It's true. The only time that I know where I stand really is when we lay down for slumber and she comes immediately up onto the bed and lays right here and just starts purring and right rests her little chin on my neck. And I'm
so
like,
sweet.
I believe you love me.
This is why you have a cat. How lovely. I'm very curious about the topic that you chose today because it's something that I'm not familiar with.
Ladies in green?
Yes. I know about those ladies in white. I know about those ladies in gray. An occasional lady in red. I've yet to hear about a lady in green.
Exactly. I don't know how I came upon this, but I've been in the mood for green lately. Like, I'm dressed in costume today. So I can write off the expense of this outfit, right? That's how it works.
You're just not allowed to wear it again, says the IRS.
Yeah, we've heard of ladies in white. We've heard of ladies in gray. We've heard of ladies everywhere rocking their booties, swinging their hips. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Booty.
Anyway, we've heard of all these like typical lady hauntings. And I was like, well, I'm curious what other types, because we've also heard of like at the clay pit, there's the lady in red and there's all these different hauntings. And I feel like they are referred to as like the color that they're wearing. And it's like lady in blank. But why is it never like man in gray, you know,
or woman in dungarees?
I'm going to be woman in overalls when I'm a ghost.
Yeah, that's how it should be. Woman in a chambray top and a black pant. That's everyone who.
Woman in a poncho. Why are there not ladies in ponchos?
Women in jeans and a going out top. That's for our generation.
The like horrendous 2000s fashion that is coming back.
Woman in a peplum top and a statement necklace from J. Crew.
Or like woman who worked from home in sweatpants. Woman who worked in the office with a dress code.
But then you can't really tell the difference between the women who worked in the office in a dress code and what we wore to go out in like 2011 because we were business casual. And let's not forget that.
Yikes.
This episode of Two Girls, One Ghost is brought to you by BetterHelp. Give online therapy a try at betterhelp.com/TGOG and get on your way to being your best self.
Sabrina, you and I have both used BetterHelp, and it's just so incredibly convenient. So if you've done it before or if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is you fill out a brief questionnaire. They match you with a licensed therapist. You can also switch therapists at any time, so you can find whoever works best for you, and there's no additional charge for you to switch therapists and find the best fit.
Also, a lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. Corinne, you and I are two examples of that. And therapy has been really helpful for me, helping me find what matters to me so I can prioritize and plan my life so that I am living the best version of myself and my life and not getting too overwhelmed with how little time there is. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/TGOG today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TGOG.
But anyway, my favorite color of the season at this moment is green, and spring is springing. So today we present to you an episode of Two Girls, One Ghost brought to you by the color green. That's like Sesame Street, right?
Yes.
So in that regard,
I'm going to start the episode off with a little bit of history about the color green, because it's not all rainbows and butterflies and chlorophyll and thriving livelihood. It is, green is a murderer. Bet you didn't know that.
Disney thinks so. Disney sure does make their villains green.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, also like Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West.
Mm-hmm.
But green itself, like in its origin, predates humanity because it is the color of a lot of plants. It's vibrant. It's rich. It symbolizes life, vitality, and it has many different meanings and invokes many different feelings. As we know, there are also many hues of it. I think one of the websites that I looked at, I think it was like the Smithsonian, said there are approximately 295 different shades of green as we know today. Yeah. Wow.
And that's just what we can perceive.
I know. That's the wild thing. Yeah. There was a whole thing about, like, I'm going to butcher it, but it's like the color spectrum and like frequency of the light, like refracting off the sun. And I was like, not going to get into that today.
No, no, no. Although I am curious what constitutes a shade, because it feels like we'd have more than they're counting.
Right. I guess like it wouldn't count like all the paint colors, right? Like, because those are all just different names, but some of them are of the same hue, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it feels like we'd have an infinite amount more though, because it, see, I have questions about color, because I'm like, well, then if you add one drop of yellow to the green, that's mostly green, it just becomes a little bit more yellow. But then if you add a white to that, or two blacks, then it's like, are those different? What's a shade, art majors?
Someone let us know. I did not look that deep into it because this episode is about ghosts.
Yeah. Okay. You couldn't have predicted this, probably.
I just thought there was like a couple interesting facts of like history about the color green. It was considered the color of medicine, and hospitals would paint, and I think they still do sometimes paint their walls green to employ an air of calm. Because it has like a fresh appearance that gives off a passive quality. So there was this man named Faber Beeren who in the 1930s made a whole career on color business. And he would consult with companies and come up with a color scheme to help like market, to manipulate and like sway consumers.
Oh my gosh, the psychology of marketing is just wild with all like color theory and the way that people move about a space.
Right.
It's top manipulation.
It is. But prior to Beeren and green in hospitals, green was actually a very well sought after pigment. In ancient Egypt, they employed green earth and malachite to conjure the color green in art. But unfortunately, it would turn black over time. So like they never really could preserve that color green. Ancient Greeks used verdigris, and eventually it became a sought-after color for garments. In medieval times, the color green symbolized lack of money, while red signified immense wealth. And then in the Elizabethan era, late 1500s, early 1600s, green was a common color for wedding gowns for brides in the lower and middle class.
Oh, well, I feel like that sounds beautiful. Like a deep, rich velvet green. Feels so enchanting.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the 1800s, emerald green became the popular color for fashion and was used for gloves and gowns. But it wasn't easy to create this color green. In 1775, Scheele's green and Paris green were invented, and I didn't really look up the chemical compositions of these, but both were highly toxic and made of deadly chemicals and killed so many people.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that's kind of a common thread with a lot of different colors too. But I guess like the more rich and saturated you're trying to get, you're probably adding a bunch of extra fluff to it, right?
I love fluff. That's probably toxic too.
I'm sure it is. Everything is. Let's just live our lives.
Historians even believe Napoleon Bonaparte died because the wallpaper in his bedroom contained Scheele's green. So while green may be seen as calming, it can also be deadly.
Hidden killer.
Which is a deliciously macabre detail to ponder upon while we discuss these formerly living, breathing, glamorous ladies who today wander this earthly plane in ghostly form adorning a deadly color, green.
I should have worn green today too.
Sorry, well, I didn't tell you. I didn't give you the message.
That's okay.
So I've collected a couple stories of ladies in green, ghostly ladies in green from all over the world that I want to share with you today.
Okay.
And I would like to say the whole time I was writing this episode, I know you haven't seen it yet, Corinne, but I had Alan Cummins' voice from Traitor, which is the reality TV show, kind of like Knives Out Murder Mystery.
Oh, yes.
In my mind, I almost like want to play a clip for you so you can just be here with me. Let's see. The way he like speaks is unreal. He goes, "That's treachery, murder." And because he has such a thick Scottish accent.
Don't you wish that your life was narrated and you just had like a handful of narrators, and depending on which situation you were in, you would just like hear it happen
that
over
person.
You?
Yeah. Right. Okay, well, this is what I'm picturing for today's episode.
In the Scottish Highlands, there's a castle where the faithful reside. Their goal? Win $250,000. But hidden amongst them are three traitors.
Traitors.
Oh my gosh. It's so intense with the music, too.
It's so intense. And his accent, he takes it so seriously. And he also has the most amazing outfits. So just if you want to watch it for the outfits alone, he'll be so serious. And he'll like come and do the introduction to whatever the day is. And he goes, "But among thee is a traitor.
Murder. Traitor.
Treachery." It is so good.
It would scare me. I'd feel like I was in Game of Thrones or something. Like I was actually going to die on the show.
It kind of does feel like that. So that is what I am imagining. And that is the narrative that I was writing this okay. episode in.
It's the tone of the show.
He even said, "Located in the hills of Scotland." Well, I'm going to say, "Located in the Loire Valley of France is the tallest castle, Chateau de Brissac. It is, as you can gather." See, I'm doing it. "It is, as you can gather."
It's hard to get out of it. I like it. Keep going.
"It is, as you can gather from the nickname, very tall and very large. It is the largest castle in France. It has 7 floors and over 204 rooms. It was built in the 11th century by the Counts of Anjou and was renovated again in the 16th century. It was host and home to many galas, glamour, royalty, tensions, treachery, and murder."
Oh my God. To live in that time. Yes and no, thank you.
Well, this is the story of Charlotte de Breze. She was the illegitimate daughter of King Charles VII. And given that she was born to the king's mistress, she did receive a lot of the royal benefits, but was not allowed to live in court the way that you would if you were a legitimate mm-hmm. child of the king. So she married Jacques de Breze. It might be Breze, I'm not sure. But he is the lord of the Chateau de Brissac. And they got married in 1462. Together, they live in this chateau. And it's in the Loire Valley, which is north of Paris. It's kind of a quiet, more of a countryside lifestyle. Very quiet, okay. With not much to do. They did host parties. They had 5 children. So they had this like life going on. But Charlotte was atrociously bored. Miserably
bored. Sorry, girl. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of tough. Also, I feel like the time that they lived in, it's not like they had quick hits on social media and entertainment that way. Like it.
No. Not that that's good entertainment anyway.
Slower living was slower than we view slower living now.
You couldn't just like dull your brain with TikTok.
No, but you could come up with a bunch of different varieties of cheeses because I'm sure you have a bunch of sheep out there. That sounds like great fun.
Yeah, and then poison everyone because that's what happened. They would like eat mold and...
Here you go. Listeria for you and botulism for you. Yum.
Enjoy. So she did not poison people, but she did get a little flirty with one of her husband's huntsmen.
Oh, I thought the sentence ended at with one of her husbands. I was like, wow, girl had multiple husbands?
No, just one.
Husband and maybe a soon-to-be boyfriend, it sounds like. The huntsman.
So this is a legend and it's hard to know for sure, but basically the legend says that one evening her husband, Jacques, came home and a maid rushed over to him and informed him that Charlotte, his wife, was having an affair with one of his huntsmen, Pierre de Laverne. And in the fury, Jacques stormed through the chateau, looking for Charlotte, discovered her and Pierre in the throes of love. And he, on the night of May 31st, 1477, ran his sword through both Charlotte and Pierre, massacring them both.
Holy shit. I mean, I understand being angry, but my God, to just like double murder them both at the same time. Yikes.
Charlotte and Pierre were both found dead the next morning. And this is where it becomes unclear because, so that's the legend. We know for a fact that Charlotte was found murdered, but Jacques seems to have gotten away with it. I don't know how. I don't know if he came up with an alibi or if there was no evidence or what. So his guilty verdict has become more of a legend and an assumption over the years. Mm-hmm. He was never convicted. However, he was endlessly tormented and haunted.
Good.
For the night after her murder, Jacques was in the castle and was startled when he caught sight of a woman in a green dress. And she looked an awful lot like his now deceased wife. He was horrified. And when he went in search of the woman, because he kind of saw her out of the peripheral of his vision. So when he went to go look after her, he realized he was alone. She was nowhere to be seen. From that night on, Jacques was tormented by the ghost of his wife. Charlotte would appear. She would whisper to him. She would stand and stare at him. But where her eyes and her nose once were now gaping black holes.
Oh my God. I'm also so curious about her green outfit. Like, did she own that in life or did she choose that to be some sort of like symbol for her and her haunting?
Yeah, I don't know. Because I don't think she was wearing it when she was murdered because I don't know that she was wearing much.
Yes.
Which actually is reassuring for all of you out there who are a little concerned that you will appear in the ghost plane in what you died in, because perhaps that's not true.
I guess you get a few chances of outfit changes, so pick accordingly. Yeah.
Jacques would be plagued with the visions of his now deceased wife. Charlotte would wail horrifying and painful cries through the night, and she would do this insistently night after night, keeping Jacques awake, preventing him from getting any sleep, any rest. Yeah. It became so awful that he truly had to move out of the chateau.
Wow. I mean, I appreciate her doing that because should she have been cheating on him? No. Do we know any details of their relationship and what it was like between them? Also, no.
No.
Is murdering someone with a sword the answer? Absolutely not. So I respect that she's taking the castle. She's taking back her property because it's like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah. I understand that you're upset, but like now I'm going to haunt you until you die or leave.
Right. And also like, for her to have to be stuck in this chateau in the afterlife with the man who murdered her, I snaps for Charlotte for kicking him out.
It's like Hetty in the show Ghosts.
Yeah.
Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
AstroPro is the first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours, which I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, because I can't even tell you how many times spring has just like sprung around the corner or fall and it's hay season and I'm like going on a walk and I am suddenly dying, like cannot breathe. And the fact that this starts working in 30 minutes, that is huge for those of us who suffer with allergies.
Plus, AstroPro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. AstroPro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with AstroPro. Go to astroproallergy.com for a discount so you can get AstroPro and go today. AstroAllergy.com.
AstroPro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
So to this day, visitors report seeing a woman in green wander the castle halls, specifically the tower room in the chapel. Her cries still echo through the halls late at night. And it is sad because I do hope that it's not, like, I hope she is not presently experiencing such pain and sadness that she's crying like that. but I hope she's wandering the castle and enjoying her massive 204-room, 7-floor chateau and enjoying her life.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And her beautiful green dress.
She is referred to as La Dame Verte, because that means Lady in Green in French. So that's our first green lady today. Our second, we move across the globe a little bit to a tale deeply upsetting and unsettling.
Uh-oh.
It is the Green Lady of Wahewa in Hawaii.
Wahewa. Fun to say.
Right. And I'm going to say it too many times and it's going to be difficult for me, but bear with me. Okay, so as the story goes, and this one's also quite a bit of legend, but again, it's something that people experience quite a lot. And so maybe it is legend, maybe it's not real, but regardless, people see this woman and experience these hauntings in this area. And it is starts really tragic, turns very scary. As the story goes, many, many years ago, a woman took her children to Wahewa Gulch and Botanical Gardens, which is located in Oahu, Hawaii. And she was so excited to take her children to see the beautiful land and enjoy a peaceful day together. But she wasn't without apprehension. She had multiple kids, and this is like a big outing. She was going by herself. Mm-hmm. This area, I guess there's a bunch of bridges that you have to cross that are also, it's pedestrian and car bridges. And she was really nervous that with the multiple kids and navigating this area, that a car would potentially not see them. One of her kids would step into the road and a car would hit them.
Yeah.
So she was nervous.
Yeah. That's a legitimate fear.
So she decided that instead of traversing through street bridges, they would just cross the streams, basically in the botanical gardens, like natural reserve. So that's what they did. The day started wonderfully. They were walking around, enjoying the beautiful scenery of Wahewa. But at one point, I guess one of her children who was behind her needed her attention. So she turns, she attends to one of her, that one child. But when she turns back, she realized that the other children that were in front of her, one of them is now missing. She's like, at first, doesn't think much of it. She's a little bit confused. She's like, oh, stop messing with me. But then she realizes how serious this is.
Yeah.
One of her children was missing.
Terrifying.
She is now in full panic.
Right.
She grabs her other kids, holding them close, and tries to call and find the missing child. Daylight is slowly starting to slip away, and she's having no luck. She is making all these turns that keep turning wrong. She has no idea where she's going. She's trying to get back to the road. She keeps getting more and more lost. And ultimately, they were never seen again. None of them.
Oh my gosh, the horror. And we don't know what happened to them?
No. It is said. See, this is the thing is that like there's no real, like I couldn't find real records, but I think especially in this area of Oahu, it is very much believed that there is this Green Lady of Wahewa. Because after this happened, so people believed that this woman and these children perished in this area. And for years after this occurred, people who would go visit the Wahewa Botanical Gardens and area would swear that they heard the sound of a woman calling for her child. And occasionally, people would see a woman wearing green who would appear, but then disappear when approached. But as years have passed, this woman and her spirit have seemed to evolve, morph.
Okay.
Transform into something a little bit more sinister and ominous, because her sadness and her guilt seems to have taken off on its own and created a monster. Today, the story of the Green Lady of Wahewa is less sad and more terrifying. It is said that she will grab any child and take them, thinking and wishing and wanting it to be the child that she lost. Even her appearance has become more wicked. She is said to have green, fish-like scales, jagged teeth, hair that is covered in seaweed, and her presence, if not already horrifying, is accompanied by a vile smell, like rotting plant matter.
Oh, man.
People are warned to stay together and keep their children close should they ever visit the beautiful botanical gardens.
It is so interesting because it's like the two different versions of her also symbolize stages of grief. You know, you have the immense sadness and the worry and the concern, but then you have just the sheer anger where you could just bite someone's head off because you're so mad at the world and you're so mad at yourself, and God forbid someone says something to you, you're mad at them now too.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel bad. I hope that this is a piece of her that just chipped off and that it's not her, just like her fully in her own form becoming this creature.
I know. I hope so too. I think there's like a school nearby these gardens too. And apparently there's like rumors of her lingering on the outskirts of the school, which is absolutely horrific. Could you imagine being a child and she's a child stealing spirit? Or said to be, kind of like La Llorona.
You know, this does remind me a bit of Moana, too. Because Tafiti is just like this beautiful, motherly, life-giving force. But when something is taken from her, she becomes so angry and so deadly and so distrusting of everybody around her.
Don't mess with Mama. Actually, when I was on the plane the other day, I was like looking at all the movie options. And I was like, what movie that Corinne references all the time should I watch today?
Because Moana?
Well, Moana wasn't an option, but I think there was like, there were a couple like Pixar or Disney type films that I know you referenced. And I was like, I feel like I just want to be on the same wavelength with Corinne on these. And I'm not.
Puss in Boots?
Currently.
Was it Puss in Boots?
I've watched Puss in Boots, but I fell asleep watching it, remember?
Yeah, I'm just as insulted here. Relearning this for the second time.
I'll try again next time. Okay, the third Green Lady comes to us from Burlington, Connecticut.
Wow, that's close.
You could drive over to that cemetery.
Should we go, you guys?
Wait, actually, I kind of love this idea. Should we go? Get on in. This is our docuseries. Okay, so there is a cemetery in Burlington, Connecticut that holds quite a bit of mystery, history, controversy, and there is a mystery that will never be solved. Only the land itself holds the memory of the truth. Mm-hmm. It is Covey Corners Cemetery. So since the mid-1960s, there have been reports of a ghostly figure appearing in the cemetery. All of these sightings are pretty similar. It's what looks like a woman in a flowing green dress materialize at a gravestone. They'll see her, lock eyes with her, and apparently she'll smile and then disappear.
That seems lovely.
Upon closer examination and studying of these reports, people realized that the spirit always appears at the same gravestone. It's the grave of Elizabeth Palmiter. Elizabeth died on April 12, 1800, and the manner in which she died was a bit mysterious and questionable. So as some history, Elizabeth and her husband, Benjamin, were members of the Seventh-day Baptist Church in Burlington, Connecticut, and there was a lot of opposition to this church in this town. Mm-hmm. The church sat right next to what is now Covey Corner Cemetery. And it was typical in that day for a Seventh-day Baptist church to have their cemetery right next door to their church, kind of to help facilitate this like peaceful final resting place. But during the 1800s, there was a pretty big religious feud in the town. And there were a lot of people who wanted to banish the Seventh-day Baptist church and that community and basically take the land that the church was sitting on. Elizabeth and Benjamin were a part of the Seventh-day Baptist community, and they all believed that they had a right to own this land. It was theirs. They had the right to practice their own religion. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. We've heard this story so many times. Unfortunately, there were people in the town who did not agree with that. And, you know, it's the 1800s. People are dying left and right. There's smallpox. There's yellow fever disease. Wildlife.
There's poisoned so much that can get
cheese. You. Accidentally poisoned. I mean, moldy cheese. But it weirdly, in the 1800s, around this time, during the feud, a lot of people from the Seventh-day Baptist Church were dying in accidents.
That seems peculiar.
Drownings, disappearances, random attacks.
As that Scottish guy would say, a murder could be on the loose. That was the worst Scottish accent I've ever. A murder.
You just like spit out the word murder.
I just vomited murder out of my mouth. Yeah.
Unfortunately, Elizabeth Palmiter was one of the many who died in one of these accidental cases. She drowned in a swamp during an early spring snowstorm. So these deaths became so aplenty that the Seventh-day Baptist Church, basically to preserve their community and to protect their parishioners, was like, we have to move. We have no choice.
Yeah.
So they ended up leaving the town.
I mean, was it an accident? Was this like a curse, or was there someone taking them down one by one? Because that seems really weird that all of these adults would just suddenly die in these suspicious ways.
So I think that was their fear, but there was never enough proof. They could never get evidence to prove that these deaths were murders rather than accidents. But either way, they were like, let's move. This is not sustainable. So today, the Covey Corners Cemetery is the last portion of what was the Seventh-day Baptist land. But there is another reminder of what once was. That is the ghost of Elizabeth Palmiter, the Green Lady of Covey Corners Cemetery. She appears often and is said to flash an enigmatic smile before disappearing. She'll also sometimes manifest in full form, other times just as a green glowing mist above the headstone. But it doesn't seem like she's in pain, nor looking for revenge, but simply enjoying her final resting place.
I mean, I feel bad that all of that group had such a challenge and so many deaths amongst them. But her haunting seems kind of sweet.
She just appears, shows up.
She's just there. She's where she spent a lot of time.
It does seem like she's interacting with visitors. Like she's appearing to let them know hello. And then she goes on her way.
Yeah. There's not like this anger festering from her death or from what happened to all of them. She's just enjoying the company.
I did find that. So the current headstone that is there today is not the original because there was a bunch of like vandalism and I think it had been destroyed. And so now the headstone is a newer replica of the old one. But the last story I want to share is the Green Lady of Armagh. Now we're going back overseas. We're going to Ireland. Because now that we've dipped our toes into the devastating tales of ladies in green, let's get a bit more twisted.
Okay.
A bit more terrifying.
Terror.
So I was reading a bunch of articles, and I guess if you grew up in Armagh, Ireland, you would remember the tale of the vicious Green Lady who was convicted of murdering children over 130 years ago and haunted the old house on Vickers Hill. Children would whisper the haunted house that contained her spirit, the spirit that had been bottled up into a small green vial and then bricked up inside the home to try to prevent her from ever escaping and harming others. But despite their efforts to trap this spirit, the Green Lady could wreak havoc on passerbys or anyone who dare live, visit, or linger too long just outside the old house at Vickers Hill. Generations old knew of a priest who, upon looking through the keyhole into the house, was struck blind by the Green Lady.
That's terrifying.
Today, there's rumors of a haunted painting that the Green Lady uses to follow you around.
So she attaches herself to the painting, or is she in the painting and her eyes follow you?
I don't know if it's a painting of her, but it's a haunted painting that the eyes follow you, and it's said to be her spirit utilizing the photo to do that.
Ooh, interesting.
There are legends of exorcisms and serial killers. It is legend, but there is some truth to it, and it may or may not most definitely be haunted. Was that the most non-committal sentence I've ever said? Yes.
It definitely.
It may or may not most definitely be haunted.
We'll just say, yes, it absolutely is haunted. I feel like one anecdote is enough for me to believe it. And it seems like there's a lot of people out there who are providing proof and stories and believe in it. So we deem it haunted.
But I'm going to go ahead right now and say it may not be haunted.
Oh, why? There's a spider above me.
Where?
Oh, fuck. And then a baby just kicked me. Fucking hate. Target has been eliminated. Jesus Christ. Thought I was safe in here.
Remember how like a couple months ago you were like, I don't kill spiders anymore. I trap them and kindly let them back outside.
I have nothing to trap this one with. It's above my head.
To be fair, it trapped you. It had you surrounded.
Now I'm looking around as if I'm going to find a bunch more. They say there's always a spider within 7 feet of you. In this case, it was like 11 inches.
Oh, you guys, you have heard Corinne and I talk and talk and talk about how much we love our Helix mattresses, but we can't stop because I'm sitting in mine right now. I love it so much. I work from it. I sleep in it. I could spend all freaking day
in it. I record from it sometimes too.
And it all started a few years ago, and we went online and we took the Helix sleep quiz. It matches you with your perfect mattress in just a couple minutes. It takes into consideration the other person that is sleeping in your bed as well, which is really nice because then it makes everybody happy. And between you and me, we have the Moonlight and we have the Midnight Lux. And actually my friend Allison, I was just with her and she was like, so I finally succumbed to your talk of Helix and I just ordered a king size Helix mattress for myself and I love it. And I was like, yes!
Yes. They have so many different models. Plus, if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It's the perfect combination of comfort and support. And not only is it the best mattress we've ever slept on, but it's so fast and easy to set up. The Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty depending on the model. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/TGOG and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Okay, well, now that you've witnessed a murder, let's talk about a
murder.
This house may or may not most definitely be haunted. And I say that because it might be haunted, but the reason it's haunted and the legend that is believed to have caused the haunting is a legend. And I want to share the story because it's quite sad.
Mm.
So on March 27th of 1888, Catherine Slavin brought her four-year-old sister, Annie Slavin, to 6 Vickers Hill, where the Pryor family lived. She asked 21-year-old Belina Pryor to watch young Annie for a short while so she could go finish off some errands in town. Belina accepted and welcomed Annie into the house, and what happened next is unclear. But what we do know is a bit later, Belina's sister Adele heard screams. Adele ran down into the parlor to find Belina in hysterics, terribly distressed, saying, "I didn't do it. I did not do it." Adele, confused, tries to get Belina to tell her what's going on. Belina brings her down to the basement, where they two together go down and find little Annie face down in the boiler.
Oh, no.
She had drowned in the 12 inches of water that sat in the boiler in the basement.
This is so depressing. This is, drownings are so scary.
I know.
Because it really doesn't take hardly any water for drowning to happen, regardless of someone's age. Like, you never know medically what's going to happen. It's so scary.
Belina was in hysterics. She said she left for just a few minutes, and when she returned, Annie was dead. She kept repeating, "I did not do it. I did not do it," over and over to her sister, Adele. It was very clear that Belina was in shock. And when doctors and officials came to investigate and see the body and retrieve the body of the young girl, Annie, they made note of Belina's mental state and wrote down that Belina had abnormal eyes in the direction of an insane mind. And they arrested Belina. Despite the fact that she had proclaimed she did not kill Annie, that she was not wet, if she had forcefully drowned this young girl, her clothing would have been wet. Her hands, at least, like her dress would have been wet. None of that was evident.
And might her eyes, that could have potentially looked a bit wild at the time, could that have been shock? Could that have been just a natural reaction to witnessing something this terrifying and horrific?
100%. The hard thing is that Belina already had this reputation in town because a few years prior, her dad had passed away and Belina and her mother did not have a good relationship. I guess her mom like really wanted her to be a performer and like be on the stage and kind of like use her beauty to make money. And Belina didn't want that. And it got so fraught after the passing of her father that she decided to move out of the home with her mom and live on her own. And I think it truly just, she went into a state of shock and trauma after her dad passed. And she was kind of on the survival instinct. And the town knew this. The town was aware that she was kind of deteriorating mentally and having problems. So I think when this death happened, they already had these preconceived notions about her and believed what they wanted to rather than looking at facts. So they arrest Belina. They take her to prison. And she attempts to take her own life in prison because she's so in shock and just so traumatized by the situation. They move her to a mental asylum where she stays until her trial.
Yeah.
She is then convicted and found guilty of murdering Annie, despite the fact that there was zero evidence. Truly, right. The only evidence and the only thing that they could use to accuse her was her mental state. And they accused her of being insane. And no matter what she said,
yeah,
that was what they decided.
Although it is interesting that instead of saying when she was upset, and like, you never know how someone's going to respond to a situation like this. So you can't really use this as evidence either. But it is interesting that her first reaction was to say, like, she didn't do it.
Right.
Instead of just saying, help, help, or something like that.
Yeah. That was what was interesting to me. But because this was in the 1880s, like, who knows how accurate that part of the story is? Was that added in to try to make her seem more guilty?
Right.
Or was there something else that had happened in that town in recent years? Like, had someone else drowned and, you know, it was an accident, but someone was accused of it. There's probably a lot more going on in this area that can be attributed to perhaps that response. So despite little evidence, she is convicted. She's found guilty and she spends the next few years in Dundrum Asylum. So she's deemed mad. And when she was released, sure enough, she was even worse off. And guess who she has to go live with? Her mother.
No. Oh.
And she's in a much worse mental state. She lives with her mother. I guess they were told that they are never to return to Armagh, the town. And so they spent the remaining years moving from place to place.
So her mom, too. Her mom is also basically kicked out of the town.
Yeah.
What a rough life.
It's also really sad because it's like, I think what it was is that Belina was released on the understanding that she would be in the care of someone else. And her mother was given that task. Her mother put so much pressure on Belina her whole childhood to be a performer. And in her mom's eyes, Belina let her down, right? So now her mom probably has all of this resentment to her. And then Belina, who already doesn't feel safe in her mother's care, is now having to spend all this time with her. It's just not a good combination.
No, not a good
parent. And very sadly, in November of 1909, both Belina and her mother's bodies were discovered locked in their bedroom. They were both dead from poison and had been deceased for many days before being discovered. It was determined that Belina's mother, no longer wanting to continue the life that she was living, taking care of her daughter, who was mentally unstable, decided to poison Belina. After seeing what she had done, took the poison herself.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Was it Belinda or was it her mom? And I guess it makes sense that it was her mom, especially because it sounds like she wasn't necessarily in the right place to be able to maybe even take care of herself much or like think through these sort of things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And there's a photo we can put in here of Belina and her mother. So this is where the story ends and legend begins. So it is said that after their bodies were found, many hauntings began to occur at 6 Vickers Hill in Armagh, Ireland. I don't know why I'm saying it like that. I'm just going to keep saying it like that. Or I'll just stop saying it. Anyway, so 6 Vickers Hill is the residence that Belina had lived in and where Annie had been found dead and drowned in the boiler. It was said that right after these bodies were found, a lady in green ghost would be seen by the house. Townspeople were so frightened that Belina had returned in spirit form and that she was trying to seek revenge that they were like determined to band together and trap her soul. So the legend says,
my gosh, she can't have a good life when she's alive. And then even when she's dead, people are still trying to control her and move her. And
exactly.
Damn. Sorry, Belina.
I know. I feel really bad. So they took a green vial and supposedly trapped her soul inside of it, closed up the vial, and to be so sure that she could not leave the home, they put her inside the wall and bricked it up, and it was said to be in the kitchen of the home.
I feel like that does nothing to contain someone, but only perpetuates a haunting.
I don't know. Again, this is legend. I don't know necessarily if there was like a thought process behind it, if there was like someone who practiced in spiritual, like in a spiritual practice who said that this is how you do it.
Yeah,
it feels very Ghostbusters too.
Yeah, you could use a different material too. Like bricks are
Those things are porous. The spirit can seep out.
Well, I mean, it is said that the spirit did seep out. It never left the house, though. But a lot of people say this is just legend. Despite the story of the Green Lady and her soul being trapped in this house, being passed down through generations and generations, it is believed that this is just legend. After all, Belina was known to wear pink instead of green. That after she left the mental asylum, she loved pink and she wore pink a lot. She even had a nickname of the Pink Lady when she was alive. So it would be strange that she's now wearing green in the afterlife. And there's never been any evidence of a priest going blind or an exorcism occurring at the home. But I did find an article. 33 years ago, the owner of 6 Vickers Hill began to do some restorative construction on the home. And within minutes of the very first sledgehammer strike, the entire crew of workmen were heard screaming and running out of the house, running down the hill as far as they could.
No way. What did they see?
But here's what happened. So Walter Ralston, he was in charge of the crew during the renovations. He and many of the members of the crew grew up in this town and had heard the history, the legend, the lore of the Green Lady of 6 Vickers Hill. So they were like, let's find out once and for all if this vial is being held in the kitchen. So their very first sledgehammer strike is in the brick wall where it is said the green vial had been held.
Grocery bills are very expensive these days, and I'm feeding 2 people with my 1 body, so it's really starting to add up. But you can get cash back on your grocery shopping with the free Ibotta app and get cash back every time you shop. I've actually been using Ibotta for a little over 4 years now. This is my 4th year of using Ibotta. It's so convenient. It's so easy to use. It's this free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. I've linked it to my CVS account, so I don't even think about it when I go to CVS.
Yeah.
It's just so incredibly convenient.
Who doesn't love making money, but also spending money? So now you can do both and make money while you spend it. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year, which could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip. So you could buy that flight you've been eyeing, or go to that game you've wanted to go to, or I don't know, take yourself to a fancy spa retreat.
With Ibotta, you just add your offers in the app, you upload your receipt, you get real cash that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards, and you can join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands, including Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code TGOG when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app and start earning cash back and use code TGOG. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code TGOG.
So he winds up, he takes the sledgehammer back and swings it down, crashing through the brick. And next thing he knows, they are all screaming and running from the house. But no one knows why they started screaming and running, because no one heard anything. Nothing happened. It was just this buildup of suspense, because when they got back to the house and looked at the brick wall that he had just sledgehammered, because they didn't even look at it. Like, one person screamed and ran, and then it was like, you know, a hysteric community experience.
It's like you're all gathering around a wasp nest and one person pokes it and everyone just immediately runs.
Right. They get back. There is no green vial. There are no hauntings. They do the renovations. It's completely fine. Nothing happens. They had just spooked themselves, which I kind of love this idea of like all these grown men being so terrified of this legend that they scared themselves.
Well, it's proof, too, that this legend feels so real. And it's like such a permanent part of this area that it would make sense if there was like one person or 2 people maybe who were like a little spooked or like, what's it going to be? But for the whole group to run out screaming, terrified, that means they've heard about this legend so often. They probably know people who've claimed to see her. And it just did feel very, it was like this imminent danger sledgehammering through the brick.
Absolutely. And it's like almost like this childlike fear that like when they were children, having that fear just came out and took over. Despite the validity of the story of Belina and the death of little Annie. There's not much truth to the hauntings. And the woman who owns the home, she's like, I've never experienced anything here. Yes, it's an old home. I hear some creaks and maybe there's electricity issues, but I've never felt anything but safe and love in this home. Mm-hmm. She has multiple children, but she's like, it's very clear that this legend has still continued to spread through the younger generations, because one day, I guess there was a group of young, probably like 10 to 12 year old boys walking past the house, and her son was exiting the house at the exact same time. And it startled the boys so badly that they screamed and ran.
Oh, that's funny.
So things like that happen all the time.
Yeah. When you're already on edge and you hear, even like when I'm on walk sometimes and I think about how much woods are around me and that I'm alone. And then you hear like a little shh. And it's like a tiny little bird in a bush, but it's still so startling because it just feels like danger could be there.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Those are four of the green ladies in the world. There are so many. I actually found there's also like, when you look up Green Lady, there's so many of them that are attached to castles. Mm. And I was going to do a couple more, but then I was like, well, these castles are really interesting. So maybe we got to do castle episodes.
So do the
and
castles.
I'll do a whole, because it feels like a half-baked episode if I did just one haunting from a haunted castle. You know?
From, yeah, an entire haunted. I feel the same way.
So stay tuned for more haunted castles.
Yay.
Coming up soon.
I'm into that. Okay, well, so since you wrote in our planning document that you were doing Ladies in Green, and I was like, Ladies in Green, I found an email that is called the Pink Lady. So now knowing this, I'm like, could this be the same Pink Lady? I don't think it is, though. Hi, Ghost Girls. I found myself listening to and reading a lot of Lady in White stories lately, so I wanted to write in with my own kind of White Lady experience. I live in Canada, and last summer I got a job as a server at a local restaurant. And for some backstory, this building has been around since the mid-19th century, but it wasn't originally built to be a restaurant. My facts may not be 100% accurate because it's been so long since I've heard the story, but the building was used as what I believe was a police station at one point, or something along those lines. And since there are actually three formerly working jail cells that are still in great shape down in the basement, I do believe that. All that's important of the history, though, is that it's been around for quite some time and most of the original foundation is still intact. I heard about paranormal encounters happening here before I officially started working there. During orientation, we were all upstairs, which in the upstairs, it has this old bathroom that is essentially a former dressing room with big mirrors and huge bulbs that covered the sides of them. The new hires, including myself, had made a joke about how spooky this place looked, and I, being a paranormal freak, made a sarcastic comment along the lines of, man, I wonder how many people have died in here before. Not a great way to informally introduce myself to these coworkers, but it did actually kick off a conversation.
There you go. You're being authentically you.
Two of the employees who had been working at the restaurant for a few years told us about the few times that they've heard the old piano in the restaurant play on its own. The craziest one was when they told us that the piano had been placed in a side room that had curtains for doors and was being used as a storage space at the time. In other words, there were boxes basically from floor to ceiling. It would have been incredibly difficult to find space to squeeze in there. They told us that as they were closing up the restaurant one night, they heard the piano playing, which was odd because who could have fit in that room? And who was playing the piano during closing time? Both girls had gone to investigate, splitting off to each take a side of the curtains since there were two entrances to the room. When they both opened them up, the room consisted of only what it always did, an old piano and multiple stacked boxes. They were freaked out, to say the least. And apparently the piano playing on its own isn't anything unusual, although this past summer, I unfortunately did not have the opportunity to come across that experience. Fast forward a few weeks when I officially started working on the floor, the woman who was training me was proudly listing off all of these facts about the restaurant, and then, like 10 minutes into knowing her, she asked if I knew about the ghosts. I was like, no, but tell me right now.
I love how into this place this coworker is. Like, there's so much love for the job, like, not even just the job, but for the place that they're working in.
Yeah. And the other people feel that way, too. Like, it's a whole group of people that are like, this place is haunted and we should talk about it.
Yes.
I was like, no, but tell me everything, obviously. I was trying to act cool so that I didn't look like this crazy ghost nerd, but who knows how convincing that was. She told me that in the windows by the front entrance, some nights people have been able to spot a silhouette of a witch-like woman once the restaurant is clear of all of the customers. She made it very clear that you could only see this woman at a certain angle and at a certain time, so it was apparent that the woman didn't like to be seen by all people. She also told me about the pink lady.
Ooh.
I've heard of white ladies before, of course, but never a pink lady. Little is known about her, except that she can be seen wearing an elegant Victorian-style dress, and she wanders the halls. And I don't believe this is the same woman as a silhouette woman in the window. Apparently, she is also not a fan of men. Join the club, Miss Pink Lady. There's supposedly also a gentleman in similarly aged clothes, but my trainer at the restaurant hadn't had the chance to personally set eyes on him, so I wasn't told too much about him. But from what I've heard from my coworkers, the pink lady is much more popular for a paranormal experience. What was crazy was that night after my shift, my mother told me the exact same story about the pink lady. Her coworker and good friend is the sister of the owner of the restaurant that I work at, and so naturally the story traveled.
Wow.
I never had the chance to see the woman myself, but I do not doubt that I had experienced her, because one night, probably around 10:30 p.m. or so, I was walking past our banquet room, which is usually pitch black and closed off because we only use it when we're catering. And that night, one of the doors was open, probably to make it easier for the bartenders to haul ice buckets back and forth, but the lights were still all off, and I swear I heard a shriek as I walked by it. It happened so quickly that I didn't even think to stop and check the room, but nobody else was around me, and it was 100% coming from the direction of that room. I was freaked out, to say the least.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like it was panicked or it was a reaction to being in danger, but almost like a high-pitched, excited squeal of a child, or one that a child would make. At first, I'd brushed it off, thinking that my mind was just stretching too far to catch something because I was just so eager to have my own experience with the pink lady. But I started thinking otherwise a few more weeks into working there. I was chatting with the hosts one night, and they had pulled up a link online discussing the pink lady. And I can't remember if I had said this based on the conversation or if it had just come up later, but we connected this experience that I had to the pink lady. But I'd mentioned how often I hear my name being called and that I probably looked like an absolute idiot looking around the restaurant when it was obvious that the tables that I was serving were perfectly content in the moment. And both of the hostesses piped up and said that they've had similar experiences.
Oh.
If they had been servers, I probably wouldn't have thought too much about it since we have to introduce ourselves to our tables. So naturally, customers will call us out by name all the time. But hosts don't wear name tags or anything, so unless it was an employee calling out to them, hearing their name from an unknown voice would be unusual. But here's the thing. Every time I heard my name, I didn't really hear it. It's hard to explain, but it was so distant.
Was it like telepathic?
Almost. Yeah, it sounds like it. It's hard to explain, but it was almost so distant. Like, it almost sounded like it was coming from inside of my head. I didn't ask the hosts if they felt this too, but it made me think. Apart from the screech and from the name calling, I've possibly seen some unknown movement in this restaurant too, but I cannot confirm anything because I do work in such a busy place.
Mm.
One of my male coworkers told me and a few other people that he'd gone into the washroom to scrub something off that he had poured on himself. And despite being the only one in there, one by one, all of the toilets started to flush. And he was like, yeah, no, I'm out of here. And he did not return to that particular washroom that day. I found this a bit ironic because it had been a busy day, and maybe that was the pink lady's way to tell him, get his ass back over to his coworkers, who coincidentally were all women. Our pink lady really is a girl's girl. What can I say? Unfortunately, that's all I have for you now because our season has come to an end, but I will be back there come May. And I'm hoping next time around, I'm able to see her more, maybe even her physical appearance. We host and cater a lot of weddings. Oh my God, can you imagine?
Ooh.
Wedding guest, lady in pink.
Shoot, should I tell my cousin to like change her wedding venue?
Yeah, pivot. We host and cater a lot of weddings, so I like to think that she sticks around for the dancing, and maybe she even gets to sneak in some of the leftover food. Whatever she does and wherever she comes from, I've never heard of a story where she's caused real harm, and I've never felt any bad energy in there. Anyway, that is my story of the pink lady. Fingers crossed, next season I'll have more details for you. From Anonymous.
I want to go so badly. I'm not going to say where it is because our listener asked us not to share the name of this place, but I will be out there for my cousin's wedding in October, and I want to go.
Yeah, once you skip over to Canada, jet on over to that area, go to that restaurant, find it.
Now I feel like we could do a whole episode on this too, because there's so many different hauntings. And
yeah,
that I like the pink lady.
Me too.
I feel like she's almost like trying to have camaraderie with the employees there.
Yeah, she's hanging out. She's having a good time.
At least the female employees.
Right. She seems so benign too. Like she's just wandering around. Yeah, she spooks the guy every once in a while. Maybe she was already in the bathroom and he came in and she's like waiting and he's dilly-dallying. And she's like, okay, hurry up. I was in here first.
Right.
Now I have to wait on you.
It is really creepy that all the toilets flush like one by one. Yeah. That's really cute because it feels like she's going down the line
and flushing them. I am curious about that other woman, though, that kind of just like hangs out shyly on the side and like doesn't really want to be seen. It's just like kind of in the corner looking around.
Watching. I'm reading The Sundown Motel by Simone St. James, who wrote Broken Girls that we all read.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some creepy moments, but it's like the hotel room doors will open one by one.
Ooh.
Down the motel.
I've heard that book is really good. I've seen a lot of people reading it recently. Good. Did it just come out? Is that why everyone's reading it right now?
Oh. No, but we talked about it as an option for our book club when we were doing A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Oh.
And I think that is why.
Yeah. Simone St. James is also one of the authors that people who like spooky books read. Yeah. So I'm probably following a lot of those types of accounts where
you
see it over and over.
She's a spooky author. Well, I love these lady in color stories.
It's refreshing. It's a little different.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting to like kind of figure out the truth. But I mean, I know it's really hard to find the truth. And that's like a hard sentence to say when it comes to the paranormal. But like understanding the legend, but then like peeling it back and pulling back the layers and trying to understand what it actually came from and what the real story was.
Yes.
And kind of give justice to some of these ghosts, because I feel like they
agreed,
you know, the green lady in Ireland had a bad rep. But it's like, excuse me, maybe she didn't do anything wrong. And maybe she's not even haunting anyone. And all of y'all are creating your own haunting and scaring yourself.
It's the legend and lore. Sometimes the ghosts are really there and sometimes we create them.
Yes.
Well, if you guys have emails of your own, please email them to us at twogirlsoneghostpodcast@gmail.com. It can be a ghost story. It can be about a cryptid, alien, weird premonitions, anything that falls within that paranormal umbrella, send it our way. You can also support us by reading and reviewing us on iTunes and telling other people about us. Word of mouth is so huge. So let's get everyone sucked into the TGOG triangle. Let them be phantoms, or what did our listener call themselves? Like a ghost freak or something. Get a little freaky with us.
Get a little ghost freaky. You can follow us on social media if you want to see the green that I am wearing while doing a Ladies in Green episode and the photos that we referenced in the episode. Go check us out on YouTube. And if you want episodes 1 week early and ad-free, both video and audio format, you can join us on Patreon, where you get that plus bonus episodes every month, plus campfire stories and so much more. We have a lot to offer over there and we really look forward to seeing you if you want to join us. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, we love you and we love our editor, Jamie. Thank you for editing both our audio and our video and making us sound a little less chaotic.
Yeah, and a little less like I'm sitting in my car.
Yes. We love you all so much. Thank you for listening.
And we will see you on the other side.
Very spooky.